B-Pod Studios.
Gasper and Murray have scorching hot takes. Twisting your mind with Pat Celtics and Bays. They'll also talk soft and out-of-town things. Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Just call them up on this Saturday.
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hour to go here on Gasper Murray, 98.5 of Sports Hope. Chris Gasper, now of WCVB Channel 5. Catch him there now. Missed his usual appearance on Felger and Maz, the 4 o'clock hour yesterday. So he's all pent up, trying to get out those takes from the week. If there's any other bees in your proverbial bonnet there, Chris, you know, whatever you'd like to throw on the table and put
Well, I
there.
Did want to talk about Daniel Snyder.
Oh, yes.
Redskins.
Yeah. Were you one of those that felt like after that story that came up from the Washington Post? And again, all bad, horrible working environment. Those involved should be out there ousted. But did you feel like, gotcha now, Snyder, like now you're going to lose your team after that particular story?
I just think it's an accumulation of everything. How intractable he's been on the Redskins thing, and they're finally obviously changing that name, you know, which is good. It's long overdue. But then this treatment that not only employees, but you mentioned the reporters, female reporters who covered the team, having to deal with that type of treatment while they're just attempting to do their jobs. I was appalled by that story that the Washington Post put out. And essentially, if you really boil it down, it's one of the scouts basically saying he'll trade information for sex. I mean, that's so offensive. And, you know, we live in a very competitive media environment. And he was trying to prey on female reporters by basically saying, yeah, you know, if you sexually gratify me, I'll give you information on the team. And just the whole environment seemed like it was toxic, not just in terms of sexism and sexual harassment, but the way that one sales guy who was a male cheerleader was belittled by Snyder, who told him to do a cartwheel at the end of a meeting. I mean, typical rich guy bully. I really feel like they should look at if they're not going to take the team away from him, because that's, you know, that I think that's difficult. It is a private, the NFL is basically a private club. And it is a private business, and you don't want to overstep. But there should be some sort of significant sanction. Like, you know, if we're fining people money for accidentally, filming a team running on the field like the Patriots, right, that whole thing, or for air pressure in footballs, then shouldn't you be fining somebody a significant sum of money for something that's actually really significant in society, like, you know, misogyny and sexual harassment?
Yeah. Oh, you know, there should have been there should still be a investigation by the league. Like, you have to take any kind of internal investigation with a grain of salt. Like,
oh, totally.
Like, you know, so that I find, like,
you get what you pay for, as they say, and they're paying for the investigation.
And I do think, like, you can have the ethical debate on whether or not Dan Snyder should or shouldn't be forced to sell his team. And it does sound like there's just going to be a fine and the other 31 owners aren't going to push him out. But based on what you said, and all of that's reprehensible, it's very 50s, 60s, Mad Men type behavior, which is unacceptable, you know, at any time, but especially now in the world we're living in.
Yep.
But if I'm one of those owners, especially one that sounds like this down in Texas.
Here we go.
If you were voting on that, I think that's a pretty risky precedent. That you could be forced to sell your franchise for a lot of reasons out of your control, too, if someone really looked into how things go on in your building.
And that's a good point.
I thought that, and I know he's a controversial figure, but no matter what side of the aisle you're on, I think, you know, so Jason Whitlock, who now works for Outkick the Coverage, I thought we had a really good column on this and how this thing, the trading of, you know, or the attempts to trade sexual favors for information and how women are viewed in sports media. Like, Whitlock got that a really good piece on this. Like, there needs to be upheaval throughout sports, throughout that kind of thing to change. Because, you know, the sick reality is that that kind of thing's gone on forever, and it's just been accepted, you know? So, like, that needs to change, not just with the, you know, the Washington team and NFL. Yeah. Like, throughout all of professional sports and at any level. Like, that kind of thing goes on. Like, women are looked at as almost commodities in a lot of ways. Like,
yeah.
And that is, it's just gross. Like, it's, you know, it shouldn't happen when it was more acceptable, and it certainly shouldn't be happening now.
No, and the other part of it, too, just with Daniel Snyder, when you look at it, is there's just some really fundamental flaws in the way the organization is being, like, one HR person. I mean, you're a billion-dollar organization.
That, to me, was the one fact you could look at in that story that came out, was that you could really use against Daniel Snyder. Because while, and so I talked about this yesterday, so, like, I still want, you know, facts to matter, and is Dan Snyder a bad guy? Yes. But just based on this one particular story, I was a little uncomfortable with the, like, ah, got you now. Like, now you're going to lose your team. And it's like, well, no, there's no direct implication for Dan Snyder outside of you run a half-ass operation, you have one person in charge of your HR. And I know there's a long list of transgressions and how bad of an owner he's been, but with this one story in a vacuum, I get that he's a bad guy, but
no,
I don't think you should lose your...
I think it's a high bar to you know...
Yeah.
I don't think it... Let me put it like this. I don't think it rises to the level of Donald Sterling in the Clippers.
Yeah, and same with Jerry Richardson with the Panthers. Like, when you had, like, hard evidence, like, these a-holes gotta go.
Yeah.
And so... And, you know, you even had a case with Mark Cuban and the Dallas Mavericks.
Yes.
And, you know, there's been upheaval there, and he rightfully got raked over the coals, but I just find it... I'm a little uncomfortable with this... Well, you're a bad guy, you got to go because we feel you're a bad guy. Like, I still want evidence and facts to matter. And in those cases, like, Mark Cuban ultimately got by because people like Mark Cuban. And you shouldn't get a pass just based on likability. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I understand what you're saying. You know, obviously people don't like Daniel Snyder. But I agree with you on him not selling the team. But I do think that the league, it should be a fine. It should be a warning. There should be some sort of measuring stick for improvement. And as a carrot for that... if it's not the carrot, it's the stick. If there's a stick for that, it should be, look, if you don't make these changes, then we're going to investigate taking the team from you. So I do think that that's one way to maybe sort of meet in the middle there.
Yeah, but boy, what a stubborn prick that guy really is, too. Oh. Like, and you know, and the subtle, not so subtle FU to, you know, fans and those that have wanted the name change and that he lists on that, first of all, it's still on the team letterhead with the with the logo in the upper left corner.
Yeah.
And that the first people that are named or the first group that's named or why they're changing the name are the sponsors. Like, we,
I know.
Like, can't you at least, I don't know,
pretend you care?
Sanitize it a little bit.
Yeah,
just to try to pretend. But it's like, no, the money matters. That's why we're really doing this. And then, I don't know, it kind of serves them right that you have, and I typically hate squatter behavior, those that own a website name and you got to pay through the nose so you can get that domain name back. Like, that's basically what's going on with this one guy in Alexandria, Virginia, who's bought all these names.
All the domains.
All the domains and names of what the team could potentially be, and now they're going to have to pay through the nose to get it. So, good. You kind of get what you deserve there.
Yeah, I agree. That's a little bit of comeuppance, a little bit of karma there for Dan Snyder. But, yeah, it's funny. I mean... I'll be honest. I'm going to be transparent. I really just want you to do Jerry Jones. But, yeah, I mean, Jerry Jones has to be shaking in his boots now because, like, if this is a thing, if you can't treat women this way in the NFL, Jerry Jones is in big trouble.
Well, you know, and so just before I get to that, though, like, you can make the case, obviously, like, look, he's bad for business. He's bad for the league. But I think you could also make the case if you're Jerry Jones or the Maras and Steve Tisch that own the Giants or, you know, Jeffrey Lurie who owns the Eagles. He's good for business because you never have to worry about the Redskins in that division.
True. Like,
they're perpetual losers. They're always going to be losers as long as he owns that team. So keep him around. He's good for business. It gets the heat off of me. I don't want anyone looking into my past and what's been going on here. And by the past, I mean last night. We had to get rid of him. I gave him too much of that Johnny Blue, too much of that cocaine, then they all died. Who am I talking about? These dead whores in the other room. Like, you think that guy wants anyone looking into what goes on with that shady operation?
You know what's going to be interesting? So I've talked about it on the air. I know Burt Breer has as well. They have that bus.
Right.
That bus that rolls through the combine and the bus, you know, and the bus is...
Right. It's literally got a stripper pole in it.
I mean, you know, I'm trying to think of the right way. I'd say the bus is debauchery on wheels, right? And so is the league going to look into that? But do you remember when Dean Blandino was on the bus?
Yeah.
That was like a whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
Like, everybody kind of wants to be on that bus. So I'm just curious if they're going to ban the bus.
I ran that bus like Jeffrey Epstein. There's hidden cameras all over the place. I could tell you who has been on that bus. You think it's just Dean Blandino? There is a certain red-headed, powerful man that runs the whole operation. He's been on that bus, too. Well, let me tell you.
he likes things a certain way. Never underestimate the freakiness of the guy next to you. And when it comes to old Roger, well, I'll just put it this way. One man's a slap across the face of another man's a, well, I won't go that far. Yeah, I mean, there's certain, believe me, it's a real slow. That's why, like, don't, I get the frustrations of a lot of people that, you know, they want Dan Snyder out, especially even fans of that team who were just fine, like, we got him finally.
Yeah.
Those other 31 owners, especially a certain owner with a big star down in Dallas, they're not going to push him out because it's a real slippery slope. And that slippery slope gets real slippery, using all that the KY and the jelly real fast. Next thing you know, you're down a deep, dark hole. Like, yeah, so don't be that surprised that Daniel Snyder is still the owner of the yet-to-be-renamed Washington team in the NFL. 617-779-0985. I just really, I could do that voice all day.
Oh, it's so good. It's so good.
My life is just like a real-life Hustler magazine. Every single page filthier than the next. Each day dirtier than the last one. I don't want anyone looking into my business. I got cameras everywhere. I got scoops on everyone. They're never going to get old Jer out of the team, out of the owner in the team or the league. I run this bitch. 617-779-0985, the phone number if you'd like to join the show. Or talk to old Jer. I'm here, too. Back after this here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Gasper and Murray. 98.5 The Sports Hub. The Sports Hub. This is Gasper and Murray.
You will listen.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
I could see Cam Newton and the New England Patriots in the AFC Championship game. I can. I wouldn't be shocked. You know, first off, and I'll get into this in more detail, I think the team is actually built better for a guy like Cam Newton to be the quarterback rather than a guy like Tom Brady. I really do. Defense, offensive line, a lot of versatile wide receivers, things like that. So they can have – they're built to run the Cam Newton offense and play Cam Newton football, which I mean – control the football, play defense, win games like 24-20, right? I really think there is. But where I say the boom or bust, first off, yes, I mean, I think, of course, Cam is talented. And I know Belichick and McDaniels, they are going to find ways to accentuate all the great things he does, and they'll build off it. You know, they'll get through training camp here, and after 1 week, they'll go, ooh, okay, he does this, this, and this well. Let's grow that out in our playbook. Ooh, he doesn't do this so good. Let's limit that.
Former quarterback Chris Sims, always outspoken, talking about how it could work here with Cam Newton. The Patriots this coming season. It's Gasper Murray, 98.5, the Sports Hub. So do you agree with that, Chris, that this roster is currently constituted for the Patriots is better suited for Cam Newton, again, with the caveat, given that he's healthy,
yep,
but all works out that, you know, this roster, sans Brady with Newton, is ready to win now, and they could make the conference championship game, hell, even maybe get to the Super Bowl?
I look at it the opposite way of Chris Sims, noted Tom Brady detractor. I think that he's saying the roster is better suited for – I think Newton – is better fits what the Patriots have built or not built. In other words, they don't have much at receiver outside of Edelman. Well, a guy like Newton who can make plays with his feet and they can run some plays, you know, that will get guys, whether you're going to run RPOs, things that get guys open, that suits Newton better than it would Tom Brady, a guy who needs precise route running and guys that are going to get open. So maybe we're saying the same thing, just differently. But, you know, he's sort of saying like, oh, okay, you know, they're better off with Newton than Brady. I don't feel that way, but I feel like, let me put it like this, given the limitations offensively of what they've constructed, I think that Cam Newton might actually be better able to hide some of those limitations than Brady would.
Where do you think they'll be better? Do you think it'll be better in the red zone?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because he can run. He's a threat to run. And I think they'll be better on third down.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, third and medium was problematic for them last year. Yeah. And look, a lot of that had to do with how banged up the offensive line was. But sure, it just felt like the whole thing was a tractor pull at times.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I still am intrigued, though, to see what it looks like at wide receiver. I think, too, what's going to help Cam Newton is that the way this offense is built in general, it's a lot of shorter throws. And I think you'll see a higher completion percentage. I go back to that last year he played with Norv Turner, 2018. I mean, he completed almost 68% of his passes. I think this is an offense that's built to give you some easier throws and a higher completion percentage, and I think they'll build in some things. There'll be some bells and whistles and misdirection and a lot of like what I like to call window dressing that is there to try and create easy throws and put guys in space and get a lot of yak yards.
Do you think they are devoid of high-end talent? Because this came up on the show this week, and it was stemmed from something that Adam Jones was talking about at night. Yeah. Like, you know, after Tooney goes past the Wednesday deadline, they've got to give him the $15 million, or still maybe trade him. But,
yeah,
you know, that's a lot of money going to guard. They have a lot of money tied up in guards. And outside of the guy that I think is number one on everybody's list, without any question, Stephon Gilmore, right? Like, yeah, right, you know, he's part of the 99 club in Madden. That matters, yeah, to those guys. Still don't know if those programmers of that game happen to watch Week 17 against Miami. But be that as it may, I think Stephon Gilmore is, without question, your top player on the team in terms of high-end talent. Who's the rest of your, like, top five?
I mean, Devin McCourty would definitely be up there for me. James White. I mean, James White is, I think he's the best third down back in football, but he's a third down back. I think Edelman. Edelman's an excellent receiver.
Yeah.
Now, I think there's talent there. But is there a Christian McCaffrey, Saquon Barkley, Ezekiel Elliott, Michael Thomas, Julio? No. You know, George Kittle? No.
No, and I think that guy. And I think what part of that is that their bad drafts are catching up with them, for one.
Yeah.
And so mine were, so it's Gilmore, Tooney, and, like, I mean, I, you know, guards, but the guy never misses time. So I think, yeah, that being able to, you know, be there week after week after week for like three straight years, that matters. And he's never really given up sacks. So Tooney's two for me. Edelman, three, even though he's getting up there. Dante Hightower, and then Devin McCourty. I have him in my top five. But then, you know, if we were to try to expand this and start getting up, you know, past that, you know, I'm going to give you guys like Pat Chung and Matthew Slater, who, if you said that to, you know, other fan bases or other, you know, media members that cover other teams, would laugh in your face and be like, that's just like a depth guy.
Yeah.
And so I think the lack of high-end talent is, I think it's ultimately what kind of caught up with them last year. And, you know, maybe some of these guys like a Chase Winovich pan out, and maybe, you know, some of the rookies that we, you know, they develop into something here. But as of right now, like, they don't look great.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see what happens defensively. I mean, one of my big questions is, where are they at linebacker, you know, without Van Noy and without Jamie Collins? Because I think that was a real strength of the team last year. And can a guy like Juwan Bentley step up and maybe fill one of those roles? Where are they at that position? They brought in Adrian Phillips, who I think will play really more linebacker than he does safety. So where are they there? And then offensively, it was a team that towards the end of the year in particular was really challenged. And I think Brady, as much as people got on Brady last year, you know how I feel about this. Like, you know, I think people looked at it and said, Brady's not committed. Brady's not giving these guys a chance. If he had been more invested, they'd be better. I completely disagree. Brady, for the first time in his career, was completely transparent and told you the truth. They weren't good enough.
Yeah.
The guy stunk. He's like, not even I can win with these guys. And it wouldn't have mattered. I mean, you know, they all could have sat around a campfire and sung Kumbaya. They could have been playing Call of Duty together every night until 3 a.m. It would not have mattered. They weren't good enough. They, you know, Gunnar Olszewski is a guy that played Division III college football and didn't play wide receiver. Now, as a rookie, you're asking him to play wide receiver in the NFL to change positions and make plays in a complicated – it's not going to happen. And Jacoby Myers, I think, showed a lot of flashes at times, but there were times he was not in the right place. And his margin for error is small because while he's a good route runner and he has very good hands, he's not explosive athletically. So they had a lot of these receivers that had these warts on them, and there was nothing at tight end. So we'll see what it is this year. They're really going to rely, I think, on those rookie tight ends. You know, I'll say this. They need to get a lot more out of tight end. And if they could get David Njoku from Cleveland, I would feel a lot better about this offense.
I think they're going to get a lot more out of just young talent on this team, or young players on this team, because I don't know if there is talent. Like, you know, guys that are 26 under, J.C. Jackson is like the first guy that immediately comes to mind. But beyond that, like, who's a guy that really shows like a lot of upside, or, you know, has a lot of natural athletic ability and shows?
I mean, Nikhil Harry. And we didn't see a lot of him last year, but if you're asking about, I mean, he does have a lot of upside.
Sure, he does have upside. I will give you that. But we're just basing on that. But beyond that, like, yeah, I don't know. I guess Winovich, kind of, sort of, but he was mostly a special teamer last year.
Like, I like Winovich. I like that pick at the time. I thought he showed you something, his ability to rush the passer.
But it feels like their drafts are definitely catching up with them. These last three, arguably four, starting to catch up with this team. And it's, yeah, it's not a lot of, like, household name talent. And I know, how much does that help teams win? I know. But it'd be nice because, you know, if nothing else, Chris, the roster's getting up there in age.
Well, yeah, that's my point, yeah. I mean, you have to capitalize. I mean, if you're not going to draft well and you're not going to spend a ton of money in free agency because you're a little bit hamstrung from a cap standpoint, then you need to capitalize on the talent that you have right now, the Edelmans, the McCourtys, the Hightowers, while you still have those guys and while they're still viable players. So that, to me, is where Cam Newton comes in and having a veteran quarterback. And to your point about high-end talent, well, if Cam Newton can return to form, suddenly you do have high-end talent. Now, maybe it's not high-end talent as a pure passer. We're not talking about Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson as a pure passer. But just his ability to run, if he gets that back, then he is a high-end talent because he can do things that not a lot of other quarterbacks in the NFL can do.
I am going back to Stephon Gilmore being named as part of the Madden, the exclusive Madden 99 club this week, which is important to these players. And I don't know, maybe it's because I'm getting up there in age. Like, I'm really surprised how much that actually matters to these dudes.
You think so?
Yeah, a bit. Yeah, like, I know that everyone plays the game, and it's been around now for basically 30-plus years or whatever the hell it is.
Yeah.
Something else that makes me feel a million. But I don't know. It does a little. It's a little childish to me that these guys take that seriously. Like, oh, I'm part of the 99 club. Like, well, that can be changed in a week if you have a bad game. I mean, the programmers do alter it if you update the online rosters. So what's it really mean? Like, you just get to, I don't know.
I think it's kind of like making the Pro Bowl. It's like a recognition thing.
I suppose. I don't know. Should it matter that much?
No, I mean, I don't think it should matter. I mean, I thought it was nice what Stephon Gilmore's wife did for him. I thought that was kind of cool, but, you know, it was a little over the top. But, yeah, it's a little something to celebrate. I just have a question, though. You know, having played, I don't play as much Madden as I used to. And I know 99, that's the highest rating. So let's just be honest. If all these guys are like 99s, we all know that in like Madden 93, 94, 95, Barry Sanders was a 120.
Oh, and so, you know, Vic on the cover of, what was that, Madden 04. So that was the 03 year. I mean, he's, you know, him and Bo Jackson are the two best video game athletes of all time.
You think so?
So, yeah,
Barry Sanders, my brother and I, we actually had a rule in the game 93. Like, you could not be Barry Sanders. He was that good. Like, if you just hit the B button and kept spinning, he just broke all the tackles. So it was actually a rule. You could not play with Barry Sanders. That's good Barry Sanders was. It was no one can be Barry Sanders. You cannot play with him.
That's how those Vic Falcons were. And, you know, Brian Finneran, of all people, could actually get up there and, like, be a decent wide receiver on that team because they made Vic so effing ridiculous in that game. So, yeah, he, too, should have been, like, a 150.
So like, I don't – that's the thing. Like, everybody says 99, 99.
No,
like,
they max it out at 99. That's it. Like, okay. That's the best you can be.
But I guess my question is, are all 99s created equal? Because I guess they would say Barry Sanders was a 99, but it was like unfair to even use him.
Yeah, so they they don't max out, like, you know, speed, field vision and all that kind of stuff. Like, they're 99 in certain aspects, like the bars all the way to the right. Some might be in the 70s, 80s. Like, now you can't max it out completely because then it's just fake. You know, you're making someone that's trying to play against that particular player while you're on the sticks is completely you're at a disadvantage.
I mean, I knew you'd know this given your extensive esports background. Yes, I knew I could go to you and you'd be able to break this down. For me, it was either you or Gamzoo I was going to ask this question, but you're in front of me, so I figured I'd ask you because I know this pretty much made your career, the esports pioneer. I mean, you really are sort of like the Al Michaels of esports. Like, do you believe in miracles? Yes!
You cover one Madden tournament, you know, back 15, 16 years ago, whatever it was, for a now-defunct cable channel, and you have your buddy bust your balls for the rest of time about it. I wasn't at the forefront of it. I'm not into esports. They're not even sports. It's just a hobby. And now they annoy the bejesus out of me. But you're just going to continue to my balls time and time.
You sound like one of the old, like, bitter rappers who doesn't like today's, like, auto-tune rap.
Yeah, didn't get that money.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't get this trap crap. Back in my day, it used to just be about Wu-Tang. You know,
like, yeah, exactly. That's what you sound like. Yeah, like, you're trying to deny, and you're like, I'm against this, but it's really about you didn't get the recognition you deserved back in the day.
Maybe that's why it stings so much, because at my heart, yeah, I really am still a video game dork. Like, up till 2 in the morning last night, finishing off Last of Us 2, which, by the way, the ending is infuriating. All right, with that, we have one segment to go. Some calls lined up. You want to talk Pats, Cam Newton, how it's going to work, 617-779-0985. It's Gasper and Murray.
Gasper and Murray. Gasper and Murray. Gasper and Murray. Gasper and Murray. On 98.5. And Murray. On 98.5. Sports Hub.
Talking Patriots, Cam Newton, prior segment, how it's going to work. And this roster, which even if you just want to be fair, is old. And I think it's devoid of talent. It's strong, but, you know, they certainly don't have a lot of household names in terms of talent. 617-779-0985. Tom and Quincy on that very subject. Go ahead, Tom.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey.
Hey, Jim, sick guy, Bo Jackson, technical reference. I appreciate that. The thing that's hurting the Patriots, I think, more than anything right now, is the fact that they are getting older. And, you know, Gilmore is, you know, one of the top defensive players in the league, and that's fine. But when you have had the misses in the draft like they have the past three, going on maybe 4 years now, and you have all your better players that are getting into their mid-30s at this point, roster's getting old. And I think you're putting yourself in a really bad spot when you consider the second-best player on the team is your guard. You know, I think that you're putting yourself in a really bad situation. And I think that, you know, I think everybody at this point is praying that, you know, Newton can come back to any kind of form, not his former self. We know he's not going to do the MVP year again. But, I mean, something, because if he gets his stuff together and he's healthy, then obviously that's a big boost for this team. I'm just curious on what other parts of the roster are going to step up and make this offense click besides Edelman and White, because after that, you're dependent on Harry, you're dependent on, you know, Jacoby Myers, you're dependent on the kid Marquise Lee, if he even makes the team. So I feel there's a lot of questions, and I just think the swing and misses in the draft have really put them in a bad spot.
Thanks, Tom, and that's why they got a hit on, so he's talking about who needs to step up at the offense. They need to have hit on these two tight ends they drafted this year.
Yeah, and I think they also need to have hit on either Sony Michel or Damian Harris.
Well, good luck, Damian Harris, because the other guy, I think we've already kind of seen the best of
him. I'm not ready to give up on Sony. I'm not. I know you were once Team Sony. I can tell that you're not. Much like Tom Brady, you've bailed on us, but no.
I just expected more in terms of the passing game, and it turns out he gets to the NFL, and he's got two frying pans for hands.
Well, you know, I think a lot of it, so this was one. You know, he missed a lot of time in camp, and remember, he came back, and then they were kind of force-feeding him in. You remember, Brady got mad, and after one of those games, he was like, we need more James White. It might have been after the Jacksonville game.
It was after the Jacksonville game.
Okay. Yeah, and so, you know, I think that sort of hurt him, and he lost a little confidence there. You know, he was a decent pass catcher out of the backfield at Georgia. I'm not ready to give up on him yet, but one of those guys needs to emerge, or I don't know, who am I trying to think of here? I'm sorry, I'm drawing a complete blank. But, you know, maybe old Rex Burkhead, he'll be tremendous. You know, he'll act like Gale Sayers, you know, the Gale Sayers look-alike that everybody thinks that he is here. Maybe he'll have a big year and, I don't know, rush for 345 yards in the season.
I think he was an undrafted free agent they signed. He's like a little water bug type. I think
J.J. Taylor?
Yeah.
J.J. Taylor from Arizona.
Yeah, he
there's some Deion Lewis comp there.
I mean, I'm only basing that off of just, you know, YouTube clips, but I love a guy like that. Like, Darren Sproles, one of my favorite, underrated players of the last 20 years. Like, if they could find a little guy
Dave
like that.
Dave Maggot?
Yeah. Like, runs going to like, oh, man, I love little running backs. They're so cute. Jordan, it's just always been a thing for me. I don't know what it is. Just want to, you know, put them in your
pocket. That's one of the sentences I never thought I'd hear come out of Jim Murray's mouth.
Yeah, hold them in your hand, put them in your pocket. I love a tiny little running back. Jordan in the car. You're next here on Gasper Murray. Hello.
Hey, guys. Thanks for letting me on. You guys are literally my favorite show on the station, so thanks for that. You're fair and unapologetically honest, so I respect it. I was going to say, Chris, you killed it with the whole James White thing. I was listening to the segment earlier in the week on Felger and Masner, and I was like, how is no one saying James White? How is he not a top five for anybody?
Oh, totally. He is a top five. He's great.
Yeah, I just think he's a blanket, a security blanket that no one almost has in the NFL, which I think is awesome. I mean,
the one issue with him is, you know, he is great. You're right. But because of the nature of the position he plays and his size, they keep him on a pitch count. So it's not like a McCaffrey or a Saquon or an Elliott. Not that he's that type of runner, but in terms of just his impact with the football in his hands, could be more. But because of his build, they keep him on a pitch count, so he's ready for those playoff games. See, that I think that's why he doesn't get that recognition.
But the hope is, though, that, you know, so again, if Cam Newton's healthy, but, you know, Cam Newton, here's a starter. He could be the de facto Christian McCaffrey in this offense.
Well, they don't have a Christian McCaffrey, but what you hope is you can divide it up, right? So James White is, you know, Christian McCaffrey, who's got, 100 receptions each of his last two seasons, correct, out of the backfield?
Yeah.
And so maybe James White is that guy, and then one of the running backs. You're not going to have one guy who's going to be able to do that, but if you can divide it up, I mean, that would be – and Cam Newton's had some really good running backs throughout his career, Jonathan Stewart, D'Angelo Williams. He's been fortunate to have some good backs he's played with, and I think that helps him.
And Rex Burkhead, you know, he's proven he can catch it out of the backfield, and he's injured again. Joe in Pepperell on the Patriots. You're next here on Gaspar Murray. Hello, Joe.
Hi, thanks for taking my call, guys. I wanted to hit on the point of, like, the Patriots' lack of talent. And personally, like, I think Belichick does not get hammered enough for this. It's the, I believe it was the 2017 draft class where he literally had four picks. Like, that draft class in general was, like, just puppy vomit. They got, what, Dedrick Wise out of it, and they traded, like, a third-round pick for Coney Ealy only to cut him. Yeah. And then after that, I thought it was absolutely just, like, irresponsible of them to just let Trey Flowers walk and pay Shaq Mason earlier in the year. Flowers, I just think, is like a cornerstone defensive end that could have helped this team for the next 5 years. And they just, I mean, he walked for a lot of money, but they could have paid him $12 million during the preseason.
Joe, that, well, but don't forget, though, you know, you go back to the official social media account of your New England Patriots in 2017. Those picks were actually Brandon Cooks and Coney Ealy, who the aforementioned Coney Ealy.
And Mike Gillisley.
Yeah, Mike Gillisley. So, you know, it's not, those picks were used. Those you can look at as the draft picks. That 2017, holy crap.
Oh, I have it up in front of me. Do you have it?
Derek Rivers, yep. Antonio Garcia, out of football. Dietrich Wise, who's, you know, fine.
Boston Sports Journal favorite, Connor McDermott.
Connor McDermott. And how about, what other players? No, that's it. That's all you got. Couple of threes, a four, and a six. Like, yeah, so it's not even arguably 4 years. It is 4 years. It's been four drafts for this team, and now it's catching up with them.
We know what's interesting. If you look at the 2016 draft, the only guy left is Tooney.
Cyrus Jones.
So that's your boy.
Oh, God.
If you had to choose one, only one, if you know, it's like Highlander, there can only be one. Cyrus Jones or Chris Candy, who's on your team?
Oh, Chris Canty. So for years before I like stopped playing fantasy football, my fantasy football team was called the Dancing Canties, and I had my avatar was dancing Chris Canty doing his dance after he would make a token tackle,
really,
and then like dance like he had just made the biggest play of the game. I had a love hate thing with him. He was terrible, obviously, but I find him endlessly entertaining.
Can I give you like just something that's going to blow your mind and make you very mad about that 2017 draft with the Patriots? Okay, so the Patriots take Derek Rivers. The next pick, Chris Godwin.
So as we're talking about Madden ratings, too, like he was trending yesterday because he's rated like a 97 in this year's game. He's a stud.
Yeah,
I mean, that's a high rating for him in Madden, but he's a damn good wide receiver.
So pick 80.
He's the next player. Oh, they're like so devoid of talent at that position, too.
So it gets better. So pick 85, the next pick. They pick Tony Garcia. The next pick, Kareem Hunt.
Oh, my God. Well, he's an a-hole, but talented,
I know.
But still. You know, they've botched this thing. Well, again, so go to the one with Wynn and Michelle. We'll always go to, you know, the wide receiver out of Alabama who ended up with the Falcons.
Calvin Ridley.
Calvin Ridley. Like,
oh, yeah. I've had NFL people tell me that they didn't understand why the Patriots weren't into Calvin Ridley but were into N'Keal Harry.
Yeah, because Bill don't get was it. Probably face down on a $5 foot long. I don't understand his blind spot for wide receivers. Yeah. And when you do pick one in the first round, it's a guy that, you know, didn't really look all that good, was mostly injured, and now we're hoping for the best with N'Keal Harry.
Let me give you another one here. I mean, you can do this with any team, obviously. You know, we're only using the Patriots because they're our local team. You can do this with any team with the draft. It's easy to do, especially in hindsight. But pick 96. So that's 11 picks after they took Garcia. Pick 96. Detroit Lions, Kenny Golladay.
Stud.
Stud.
Yeah.
He's a stud.
Oh, that's depressing. Bill in Framingham on Cam Newton. Go ahead, Bill.
Hey, guys. I think Cam Newton only marginally improved the Patriots. You know, people talk about, he can run and do all these things. Well, first of all, he's not the speed demon anymore that he might have been at one time. And he's had major ankle surgery, major shoulder surgery. You really don't want him running around and with his injury, his history of injury. And, you know, he's coming to a team that has no proven tight ends, untested N'Keal Harry, an average at best when he's healthy, Muhammad Sanu. I don't know. I just don't think there's going to be the hype that I've been hearing all week on the radio. We got Cam Newton. I don't think it's going to materialize.
Yeah.
That's pretty much all I have to say, guys.
Yeah, I think that's an, you know, there's some understandable skepticism about Newton given the injuries and given what's around him. And this is what I've said from the beginning. I feel like ultimately it has to be meeting in the middle. Cam Newton's still going to be, even you know, somewhat diminished Cam Newton is going to be way more mobile than Tom Brady. So what has to happen here is this. The Patriots need to reinvent their offense a little bit without Brady. You're not going to change the whole thing, but you need to add some different elements, find some different ways, because doing it the Brady way, you don't have that type of quarterback anymore, and you don't have a ton of high-level offensive skill talent. And then Cam Newton, at this stage of his career, you can't run around forever. Is he going to stop running? No, I think, third and eight, can he still pick up a first down? Sure. But he needs to become a more efficient pocket passer. What better place to do that? So I look at it and say both of these parties need to reinvent themselves a little bit, and they can do it together, and it's mutually beneficial. That's why I am so bullish on this arrangement.
Yeah, and there is someone you can point to that, you know, used to use his mobility to his advantage a lot, maybe almost too much, and then had to reinvent himself and become more of a pocket passer, and it worked, at least for a season. And that's Mike Vick in 2010 with the Philadelphia Eagles, who, you know, and credit to Andy Reid for all, and he finally got off the schneid and won a title. Granted, you fell ass backwards into Patrick Mahomes.
Well, you know, our boy Jimmy G hooked him up, so
yeah,
that was nice.
That is true. And for all the foibles he's had and the issues with the clock, the guy is a quarterback whisperer, and I think that's one of the more underrated things. You know, giving because I, as much as I'm animals over people, I thought that Vic, you know, that was a draconian punishment that he got there. He served his time. He certainly is reforming himself, and I always thought he deserved that second chance. I'm glad he got that second chance from Andy Reid, but that was such a great job he did with Vic and completely reinventing him, and Vic acquiescing to that and changing his game. And, you know, he was runner-up to Brady that year for MVP. I feel like people forget
that. I did forget that.
He was a stud that year. So that's one of the things I look at. So, like, if Newton can change things, because I don't think he can take the beating that he had taken in the past. Like, given his injuries, like, he can't play that way anymore. So if he's going to change a little bit. You know, they change things here offensively with McDaniels and Belichick. You could see the same kind of thing here with Cam Newton. Again,
I think so too.
Stays healthy.
I think he's a more accurate passer than people give him credit for. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that he's Joe Montana, Steve Young, you know, Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees accurate, because he's not. But I also don't think he's Josh Allen. Oh, speaking of Madden, I don't know. Did you see my tweet?
Yeah, the throw power.
Oh,
and
God.
It's just a montage of him just airmailing pass.
Whoever put that together was genius. Yeah. But I couldn't believe the Bills tweeted that out. Yeah.
Right. Like it was some sort of positive. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, he's got the throw power. Yeah, he's got a howitzer, and he's going to overthrow guys by like 30 yards. Oh, he's got Diggs wide open. Oh, there goes the. I can't wait.
That's in the stands.
That's one thing to look forward to in watching, AFC East rivals, if you will, this coming season is when Stephon Diggs eventually loses it and, you know, throws his helmet and storms off the field because that stiff quarterback throws another one over his head by 10, 15 yards.
Stephon Diggs was losing his mind at Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
Do you imagine what's going to happen with Josh Allen? Oh, man.
See, something to look forward to. The goodness in the face of the pandemic. We'll wrap up the show next with five questions for Chris Gasper. Got nothing to do with sports.
You're listening to Gasper and Murray.
Fantastic chemistry.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
I got five questions for Chris Gasper of Channel 5. I got five questions that got nothing to do with sports. I got five questions.
All right, now we wrap up the show each and every week. Five questions for Chris Gasper, WCVB Channel 5. Got nothing to do with sports. Let's dive right in before we get to an old game from the past. Question number one, Chris, what is something you don't understand why people like it? You know, fries on a sandwich, man buns, Trevor Noah. what's something out there that the people are into that you're like,
So I'm going to sound like an old here. I don't get TikTok.
Thank you. That's maybe my number one, too. Like, and you know, guys our age, too, like, you know, us Gen Xers, Chris, like, should I start a TikTok account? No. Like, it's for, like, kids. What are you, crazy? Oh, I need it for the job. I work in meetings. You don't. You got enough with Twitter and Facebook and all the rest of the crap. You don't need TikTok.
I mean, I understand, you know, do it for the gram. I'm down with that. But I don't get TikTok. I don't get it.
Yeah, me either. Oh, watch me do this dance. I can't. Question number two. Train or plane, which would you rather take in the face of COVID-19?
Oh, train. I hate flying.
Yeah. But what about from like a filth factor, though?
Yeah, I don't really care. I hate flying. Train.
Yeah, I suppose.
Train. It's a train all day.
Well, you're really shook when it comes to flying,
oh,
huh?
I hate flying, yes. Train.
Oh, I thought I was bad.
Oh, no, I'm bad.
I'll tell you what.
Pretty much anything from here to D.C., I'm hopping on a train. I will take the train to D.C. rather than fly.
You do have some nightmare flying stories, though.
I do.
What was the Kansas City AFC Championship game, right? Weren't you, like, trapped there for, like, a week?
Yeah, I was trapped in Chicago for, like, 3 days, yeah. Yep.
Question number three. With a lot of restaurants and bars closing these days, thanks to the stupid hell pandemic, has there been a closing that has affected you
yes.
locally?
Like affected me in terms of...
Yeah, one you're really going to miss, you know, one that, you know, maybe you and the wife held near and dear to your heart. They're like, ah, I'll miss fill in the blank.
Well, there was a restaurant. It used to be Roca, and then I think it became Cinque, I can't pronounce it, Cinque Cento or whatever. I just saw that closed, and that was the first place we went to, like our first date was that. So I was like, oh, that's kind of weird. Like, you know, that restaurant's closed. We hadn't been there in a little while. We'd gone there a couple times with my parents. But the fact that one's closed, that kind of hits home.
Yeah, the one that's at the risk of sounding overdramatic, which I can tend to be, it gutted me that it sounds like Eastern Standard. It's not official yet, but on Comm Ave, it's done. Like, I don't think that's going to be coming back. It's been my favorite restaurant forever. I think it's the best bar in Boston, or one of them. Wife and I basically, you know, had our marriage there last year after we had the whole thing at Boston City Hall. Great people that run the joint, and yeah, it sounds like they're done. Oh, and Whiskey's on Boylston Street. That was announced that they're done this week, too. And I know it's not, like, the greatest place, but I will tell you personally, I've not gone thrown out of one bar more in Boston than Whiskey's.
Oh, really?
My 20s. Oh, yeah, no. It felt like every other weekend getting thrown out of there, thanks to my buddy, the D. But a lot of great times at Whiskey's.
Were you this sad when Foggy Goggle closed?
No. What a hell place that was. Oh, God,
we were just talking
goggle.
About that.
Yeah. I wish I could use the word I want to use for that place. What is your favorite current guilty pleasure? Chick flicks, Hallmark movies, TV shows, anything like that?
Oh, that's a tough one. Favorite current guilty pleasure. I don't know. I mean, you've kind of gotten me into Succession. We've been watching that.
Oh, yeah. It's great, isn't it?
Yeah. So, you know, pop that on and just, you know, watch that. And that's like all good. I've been really enjoying that. I like the Roy family.
It's a one-off, but I can't recommend it enough. A documentary that popped up on Netflix in the last week or so called Mucho, Mucho Amor about this guy, Walter Mercado, who's apparently a very famous astrologer. If
okay.
you grew up in a... apparently, if you grew up in, like, a Latin household, like, you knew this guy. Like, everyone knew Walter Mercado. I thought it was going to be a documentary, like, about, like, a charlatan and kind of a kook.
Yeah.
It's, like, one of the most heartwarming documentaries I've ever watched in my life. Like, it's great.
Oh, that's cool.
It's great. Can't recommend it enough. Mucho, mucho amor. Finally, to wrap up, if aliens were invading Earth, Chris, what fictional character would you choose to defend us, the people? King Kong, Godzilla, Bane, if you will?
Oh, that's tough. Let me think about that.
Jerry Jones
would be good. I'll say Incredible Hulk.
Yeah, very powerful. But, you know, then he could turn back into Bruce Banner and not give a rat's ass, right?
I don't think so.
All right. Well, so concludes the show for today. Chris, always a pleasure. You're going on a little bit of a vacay, eh?
Vacay time. But I'll be back next Saturday. So.
All right. We will be here for you, the people, here on 98.5 Sports Hub next week, 10 a.m. Gasper and Murray. Thanks to B-Rob, Brian Robb, Boston Sports Journal. As the Celtics are returning, read his Celtics coverage at bostonsportsjournal.com. Coming up next, some Bruins game?
It's Bruins. I think it's Pasta's four-goal game against the Anaheim Ducks.
Oh, right. Yeah, with David Pastrnak when he is not, what is it? What's the term again? Unfit to participate, like an unfit mother who left the child in the car so she could go drinking in a dive bar. Like, it's a term they should really change. All right, old Bruins game coming up next. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. Talk to you with Felgram as Tuesday, Monday at 2. Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.